In today's episode, what is PIMCOR and why is it transforming how companies do business all over the world? From Lightning Jar, this is Thunderclap. Hello and welcome to the first episode of Thunderclap, the Lightning Jar podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Peckham. Since this is our very first episode of Thunderclap, I thought I'd take a quick minute to describe what you can expect from this and future episodes. We plan on covering a wide range of topics that live at the intersection of marketing, design, and technology. Some of the episodes, like the one today, will be examining some of the software and tools that power the best digital marketing and commerce experiences. Other episodes will dig into less technical topics and ones more relevant to the broader world of marketing and agency life, such as the need for improved ethics in digital marketing or the ins and outs of brand positioning. So, with no further ado, let's get started with episode one, an introduction to PIMCOR. To learn more about PIMCOR, I sat down with Lightning Jar's resident PIMCOR expert, Jim Wagner. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
So, Jim, we're talking about PIMCOR, and PIMCOR is open source software. It says from their website that they are the PIM, DAM, CMS, Commerce, Digital Platform for Enterprise. Can you unpack that for us? What does that mean? What is PIMCOR?
Well, I know that it originated through solving a lot of big enterprise corporate problems to build apps, both front-end apps for customers and consumers, as well as back-end apps to support business processes. Traditionally, product data has lived in back-end systems that support distribution, inventory management, things like that, where you need to know what you got, where it's manufactured, what warehouse it's in, how to get it to distributors or customers, etc. And that is, by definition, an internally to the business focused set of data and tools. In addition, when commerce started to become more and more popular on the web and it became a necessary platform for most companies to sell, or a necessary channel for their companies to sell their products, people started recreating that product data in content management systems, the traditional web-based content management systems. And so the back-end systems would have different labels and different names and different category hierarchies, et cetera, that were intended to support business needs internal to the business. And then the website or the e-commerce site would ideally have more consumer-friendly labels and category hierarchies and descriptions. And the two didn't stay in sync very often. And so the agency that created PIMCOR created it based on the concept of PIM, which is product information management. And philosophically, that's about saying, hey, we've got all of this different stuff, whether it's imagery, descriptions, labels, categories, tags, et cetera, defining or describing our products. And in the back-end systems, they're different from the front-end systems, and some output channels, like if it's a print catalog or a website or an email blast. Product information management was meant to rein all of that lack of consistency in. So have a single source of truth for your product information, and then allow that single source of truth to feed whatever output channel it needs to.
Take a step back. So PIM is product information management. Let's go through the PIM, DAM, CMS, commerce, digital platform. So DAM is...
Well, we all know what a DAM CMS is.
Yeah, it's the one I can't get to work right.
But this is PIM / DAM / CMS.
Yeah, so DAM is what?
Digital asset management. That's about videos, imagery, and even collateral files like Word documents, PDFs, Excel spreadsheets that define, all kinds of distributor-centric things about products or whatever. So basically any files.
Okay.
Those are the digital assets. And, traditionally they have lived in disparate places on multiple file servers. The latest version is in, three email chains ago, et cetera. And so it's the same concept. So product information needs to be managed and you want a single source of truth for that. But digital assets also want to be managed and you want a single source of truth for that as well. DAM is just an industry abbreviation for digital asset management. CMS, content management system, is about web templates. So email, HTML, CSS stuff. Web page, HTML, CSS stuff.
Although increasingly multi-channel CMS too, right? So pushing content out to not just websites, but mobile apps. What else?
Email blasts.
Right. Campaign pages.
Sometimes multiple websites served by the same source content.
Right.
For different audiences with different user experiences that are focused to that audience.
Okay. So PIM, DAM, CMS. And then commerce. Commerce is e-commerce.
E-commerce, absolutely. So it's basically selling the products through a web page.
Right. And so, you know, why the heck should I check out PIMCORE? And who are we talking to? Who should be interested in PIMCORE? Who is the audience for PIMCORE?
Well, the people that contact Lightning Jar looking for support and guidance in using and implementing PIMCORE are typically IT folks that are focused on providing new solutions. So they're solution architects or system architects. Mm-hmm. So they're not usually coders or developers. They're usually, you know, more high-level analytical thinkers at the business. Sometimes it's a CIO or CTO.
Yeah. And they're having challenges with existing systems and their data ecosystem or their user experiences.
Exactly.
And they're trying to implement some sort of change.
Exactly. They have a lot of pain. Given that they have these back-end systems that aren't consumer-friendly.
Right.
They don't have data in those systems that are consumer-friendly. They have maybe multiple brands that have multiple websites. Mm-hmm. And each website is telling the same story, but with different words and different images. So there's inconsistency. So they're trying to solve that. We need a central source of truth for product information and digital assets. And so PIM and DAM are pretty familiar and common terminology in the technology, the enterprise technology world. And so if people are looking for PIM and DAM solutions, especially if open source is a priority, they'll find PIMCORE.
Right.
And so they come to PIMCORE with that goal in mind and then realize there's more here. It's not a turnkey solution. It's not an out of the box, plug it in and everything works. It wasn't designed that way. It wasn't intended that way. It was intended as a really well-architected framework to allow enterprises to solve those problems in a customized way that are specific to their business or their industry's requirements. So you're not getting Magento and then having to do things the Magento way. Mm. You have your own kinds of products that have unique attributes and unique relationships. And you have distinct processes as far as multiple output channels that you're trying to sell those products or distribute those products. And so you want to build customized solutions that are specific to your business requirements.
Yeah.
But you need and want a framework that gives you the foundation to do that much more easily than starting from scratch.
And if I understand correctly, I mean, the original idea of PIMCORE, you know, someone might ask, well, how can it be so good at being a PIM and a DAM and a CMS? And if I understand correctly, the core idea is that, well, product information data is data. And web content is also another form of data or asset. And if you built the right platform, then it could just manage things, whatever it is, digital assets and objects, in a really flexible way. And then brands that have unique needs could then use this platform to configure a properties and management systems and architecture that supports their unique business process in the optimal way.
Right. And to put that another way, all e-commerce experiences these days and most product or service or solution-based web content, the pages are dynamic, right? Mm. You don't type in all the product information into HTML or into the fields in the CMS, you create a template for a product detail page. You create a template for a product list page. If you click on a specific category, you get a product list that shows the distinct products for that category. And how do you do that? You need to go look for all the products in that category and then present them in an HTML template. And so what PIMCORE was built for was to allow easy creation of those web page templates that specify the data elements that are dynamically presented by category, or if it's a product detail page, by product. Mm. And so because the data architecture of PIMCORE is represented in the same context as the web page templates and the same context as the assets like images, videos, PDFs, et cetera, it's really easy within PIMCORE to integrate them all into an email, into a web page, into another output channel like an API for your distributors, et cetera. So all the things that you need to create dynamic web content are in one place, designed and architected to work together.
And I think that's an important point, because PIMCORE is really a solution that provides you a place to store data, but also allows you ways to push that data other places and or build a presentation layer on top.
Which is the reality of the world, you know, for most enterprises is we don't just have a website. We have multiple output channels.
Yeah.
We don't want to have assets on a file server that somebody has to fish through and find the latest version of that brand's product photos. You don't want to have external data in spreadsheets or backend ERP systems that you have to pull the data for to create the web page. You want to put it all in one place where they're intended and designed and architected to work together easily. And that was the foundation of PIM Core.
And I think this explains why it makes a lot of sense to have an integrated PIM DAM CMS solution, because that presentation layer, imagine you're a big company that has an e-commerce site. Well, that e-commerce site's not just pulling in product data. It's going to pull in marketing data, images, copy, and that'll come out of the CMS.
Yep.
And so you've got your PIM and your CMS and your images from the data from the DAM.
And the way PIM Core is architected is, doesn't matter whether it's marketing data or product specific data or any other kind of data, it's all placed in the same place with the same data structures and the same data architecture tools. So data is data is data, goes into the data bucket.
Right.
Digital assets are files, whether it's an image or a video or a Word document or a PDF, files, they go into the assets bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Web templates for multiple websites, multiple email output channels are web. So you have templates and they go into the template bucket. And PIM Core is designed so that the templates can easily pull in the data or the assets that are required for any particular context for any particular output channel.
And you can push it too. I mean, if I understand correctly, API distribution of data from PIM Core is incredibly easy.
Yeah.
Unlike anything else I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's part of the architecture from the beginning is being able to pull in data from external sources and populate the data objects or populate the assets library or push that data, like make requests to PIM Core to say, I want this category of products and I want the product list information. From this product list, I now want the product detail and I need product photo. I need, you know, user guides, operating manual, PDFs, et cetera. And you can access all of that really easily with well-architected APIs that are designed for web output channels and print output channels as well. A lot of enterprises still do print catalogs. Mm-hmm. And so PIM Core had that output channel in mind as well when it was built and architected.
Right. And so one of the bars of whether PIM Core is right for you, bar to entry, is that it is a solution that you need to configure. But that's also its strength. If you have specific needs, you can configure PIM Core basically any way you need to get the job done, to manage your data, to push it out to different channels, to create the expression layers, presentation layers that you need. So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about why folks listening should check out PIM Core. You know, what are the reasons? What's your number one reason that a company should consider PIM Core?
Sure. I think a lot of enterprises, their number one reason would be that they're looking for an open source tool, because that's an enterprise decision that we are only going to use open source mm-hmm. tools. They may also have other tools that they've used, whether they're backend systems that maybe they thought could be repurposed for the new digital multi-output channel world, but don't work well for that. So they're frustrated with existing tools. So for a lot of enterprises, I think that's the starting point. We're frustrated with this, or we know we have a demand for multi-output channel, single source of truth, and we don't have it. How are we going to create it? And that's because they're reading about PIM as opposed to CMS. They're reading about DAM as opposed to, you know, file systems. And so they know what they're looking for, but they don't know what's available. If they're looking for PIM, DAM, CMS, they'll find PIM Core, especially if they're focused on open source.
What are the advantages of open source? What would you say to a company that wasn't sure if it wanted open source, who might say, oh, well, I've heard open source isn't enterprise ready, or I heard that open source isn't secure?
Mm-hmm. It depends on the product.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of open source is horrible, just like most websites are still horrible.
Right.
But you can build a good website if you know how.
A lot of proprietary software is horrible too.
Absolutely. Most software is horrible.
Well, that's it for today. All software is terrible. Tune again next week. We'll tell you why the web is going away.
Yeah, that internet thing is just a trend. So there's a lot of open source stuff out there that's horribly architected. And that's the people who started the project weren't necessarily skilled at software architecture. And so over time, it kind of becomes a Frankenstein monster where one person contributes one piece and another person contributes another piece, and they don't really work that well together. But they're, let's say, they're all in the same programming language and they're all in the same bundle of software.
Yeah.
PIMCore, the reason developers like it is because the folks who architected it from the beginning were really good software architects. Mm-hmm. So it's really well architected. So the good open source, the successful open source for enterprises is founded by product or project owners that understand software architecture. They allow other people to contribute, but they manage it. So it's a curated process and not a, you know, sort of Wikipedia where anybody can, you know, offer a paragraph or 12.
Right. So just because it's open source doesn't mean it's decentralized in terms of code control.
And, well, it can be, but the best ones that I've worked with are not completely decentralized. There's always a curation. If you want to add a component or a module to the core, it goes through a process of a review and approval and usually revision.
Right.
So that the offerings from other folks that are outside of the core development team are vetted and improved to make sure that they fit into the vision that the original software architects had. And so that's true of any software. Mm-hmm. If it works well, it's because it's well architected. If it's extensible, flexible, it's because it's well architected. If it's frustrating and causing hair pulling, it's because it wasn't well architected.
Right. And I would assume that as time goes on, a well-architected, controlled source project like PIMCore gets better.
Absolutely.
More people use it.
Absolutely.
And though PIMCore doesn't have a huge name recognition in the US yet, it's quite popular in Europe, and it's been around what? PIMCore project started roughly around 2009, 10?
Yeah, I was going to say about 9, 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's on its fifth major release. What have you seen over those years as you watch PIMCore evolve?
Well, digital asset management, for example, is a big chunk that they've added in the last two releases. Mm-hmm. Another good example is workflow management. So review and approval by different types of users who have different access to different types of data.
Let's make that real with sort of a imaginary use case for the workflow experience. So I have a company, Acme, and we make widgets, and we're working on a brand new widget. I assume we start entering into PIMCore the product details for this widget while it's in development, being tested, and then legal needs to come in review, and engineering needs to review that the specs are right, and legal needs to approve the copy that's entered by marketing. And I guess you can quickly see that there'll be lots of different users creating all the data that will surround how this product goes into the market. The packaging details, the marketing copy, the imagery, the specs, the pricing.
Well, that goes back to why people would choose PIMCore. So open source, frustrated with other tools, they're looking for a new, better solution. And PIMCore provides a customizable framework to solve big problems that the enterprises have. It's not a turnkey solution. It's not an out-of-the-box solution, but it gives you a great starting point and a great architecture to build your custom solutions. Also, if product data is out of control or inconsistent, it gives an enterprise an opportunity to put in place a new location where you can have that single source of truth. It's usually easier to start with something new in that context than try and force all the disparate sources that have different kinds of product data into one of them.
Right.
And then you spoke to localization. At its core, PIMCore was designed for multi-language and localization support. The core developers are in Austria, and you can't do business in Europe unless you handle multiple languages and localization of different currencies, different time zones, etc. So that's built in. So if you're a multinational enterprise, that's just, you don't even have to think about it. The multi-language support allows you to turn on and off as many languages as you want. And whatever data in your data architecture you said is localizable, as soon as you turn on that language, another tab shows up in the data maintenance screens for that language.
Right.
So it's trivial to implement multiple language support.
And let's talk about a PIMCore can do all of these things. It can be your e-commerce framework, it can be your PIM, it can be your DAM, your CMS. But a lot of companies out there may come just for the PIM functionality in the beginning.
Yep.
So it can easily fill that role. And as I understand it, lots of companies out there are entrenched in Magento e-commerce framework and not ready to make a move, but they're struggling with the product data management. Yeah. What are common things that you hear from customers who are exploring PIMCore about why they're unhappy with their current solution? Or is it that a lot of companies out there don't really have a PIM solution?
Many of our clients, they know that that's what they have to do. And so they're looking to do that for the first time. Mm-hmm. Other clients say, well, our backend ERP system says it does it, but it doesn't do it the way that we need it to for all of these different output channels or for a consumer-friendly result. So they're either frustrated with a tool that says it does it, or they're looking to do it for the first time.
Got it. Any stories stand out from clients past? I'm thinking of one that I think you were involved with. And what did we learn? We learned this company that had hundreds of thousands of products. The only source of truth was InDesign files. Do you remember this client? Can you talk about that?
That's when we're talking about product data is out of control or in a format that's frustrating. What they were looking to do was change their whole world so that they could actually respond internally and for their customers in a, you know, in a timely fashion that isn't, you know, our, you know, tens of years, it's like months. So what they had to do was they had to extract all that data out of those files and move them into a product information management context. And from that point, the flexibility of what they could do with that data was unbounded.
And if I recall, that client, this in fact was the first project in the U.S. using PIMCore.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to name the client.
It was a big construction equipment rental
company. Yeah, a major company.
Billion-dollar company.
Oh, they didn't even know what a PIM was when they came to us. Yeah. This strikes me as a pretty common situation where what they wanted was e-commerce. We want to offer e-commerce, big company resolution. This is the new direction. This is the future. This was 8 years ago. Though, you know, lots of people still haven't nailed e-commerce. And the PIM became something that we learned that they needed pretty early on. And we taught them what it was.
Well, that's actually how we discovered PIMCore as an agency.
Right.
Because they had an open source mandate. It's like, we have to build on open source. And we want a content management system to support a new website. And we want to introduce e-commerce. And so we did some research as to good candidates to solve all those problems and found PIMCore, and it really hadn't been used. It had been played around with by some people in the United States, but it hadn't been, no corporations, no enterprises had implemented it in the United States. And out of all of the candidates, that's what was chosen to solve both needs, the foundation of CMS for a new website and the foundation for e-commerce in PIM. And yes, we introduced the concept of PIM to them. It's like, you've got your product information in spreadsheets over here. Yeah. You've got your product information to serve distribution and logistics and inventory in an ERP system over here. So InDesign files, ERP backend system that nobody wants to use because it's old and scary.
Yeah.
And then spreadsheets and then pieces of paper. And so you've got this collage of sources that aren't even consistent. And so what you want to do is have a single source that allows you to distribute that same information internally and externally on multiple channels.
And allows you to manage it over time, which we've seen is a problem too. Stores add products all the time. Manufacturers change models. Yep. Model numbers change. All sorts of things can happen that corrupt the data.
Yep.
And not only do you need a place to store it, you need a place where you can manage it easily.
And you want those changes, when they're made, to flow through to all output channels.
Right.
You don't want to have to go hunting down through all of your output channels the static content and edit it in each output channel. You want to edit it once in that single source of truth. And then the next time one of those output channels requests information about that product or about that brand, they get the new data.
Right.
So it automates the distribution to all of your digital output channels of updates, you know, discontinued models, et cetera.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a common theme that I've heard over the years, talking with clients about their needs, learning about their needs, and then executing these projects, is that e-commerce is actually an iceberg. And the client comes in, you know, wanting a storefront and a shopping cart. And that's just a little bit that sticks out of the water. And then very quickly, you know, we get into the depths, and there's a whole lot more that's required for a foundation for e-commerce. especially in this day and age, from logistics, but to product management, copy management, digital asset management, and all of the integrations between the many systems. Maybe you can speak to that for a second. How well does PIMCORE integrate with all of the various platforms in a modern company's tech ecosystem?
Because the people who built PIMCORE were working with enterprises that had to integrate with other systems, both back-end systems feeding data in and output channels requesting data out. It's built, the framework is built with that in mind. That, you know, that's part of the intention of the framework, is to allow that. That being said, all integrations are custom, except for, you know, maybe Google Analytics, for example. PIMCORE has the necessary place where for each of your output channels, you can specify what the Google ID is and specify some parameters on how Google's going to work, for example. So there's some of those that are built in, but bottom line is all of those integrations are custom integrations. The framework makes it really easy to suck data in and expose data through the APIs.
Right. Now, shifting gears a second, you're a data architect and one of the many hats you wear, and you've worn on a lot of these projects we've worked together using PIMCORE. Do you think that's one of the biggest pain points for companies, that not only do they learn they need a PIM, a place to keep their data, but that their current data structure, what's the word, chaotic at best?
Chaotic, inconsistent, not well managed. The key to an ongoing, effective, good user experience is good data.
Right.
And that doesn't mean just the quality of the descriptions and the quality of the names. That's important. You want to have consumer friendly, you know, whoever's consuming it, whether it's a B2B distributor or whether it's a consumer brand, you need to have labels that mean things to them, that are friendly to them, that are not internal, you know, buzzwords or product names that don't mean anything to customers. So you need that no matter what. You need good quality data, but you also need a really well thought out data architecture that allows the business, as it grows and as it changes, you need to be able to extend that. You need to be have that be flexible, but you also need to maintain the core obvious stuff in a way that is easy to work with for developers and content managers.
So you come into these projects and you clean house a little bit. You say you have data over here and it's structured this way, and you have data over here and it's structured this way, and the two do not work well together.
And they don't work well for your customers yet.
So we need a new master plan that will unite your data sets, organize your data, and have room and be sensible enough that it can grow in logical ways.
That is common, yes. Actually, I think that's kind of universal. Every client we've had to help them massage their data.
So this is the bad news, companies. It's good news and bad news. You may be shopping for PIMCORE. What you may also need is data architecture consulting. And that might be the bad news, because maybe you don't have a budget line for it. But the good news is, if you take this step, the rewards are amazing.
Yeah, a little bit of planning, strategy analysis, and then an architecture built on that research upfront makes everybody's life easier moving forward and makes cost lower moving forward, because to modify things, to change things, the impact is much smaller if you do a little bit of planning and strategy upfront and get, you know, 80, 90, 95% right as far as your data architecture that you need moving forward. Just saves time and money and frustration moving forward.
So, okay. So I'm interested in moving forward with PIMCORE. How do I get started? How would you recommend a company gets their feet wet with PIMCORE? Is it something I can do myself, or what's the best way for companies to proceed?
Mm-hmm. You can absolutely do, if you're a developer and you're familiar with, you know, going to a source code hub like GitHub or any of the others that are out there and downloading the package and installing it on a LAMP server or your personal development machine, you can absolutely get started. There's a basic PIMCORE installation, which has just the CMS stuff. And then there's the full installation that includes the e-commerce modules, the DAM modules, and you can then add the workflow management modules. And you can, and you actually have a demo that comes with it for CMS and a demo that comes with it for e-commerce and DAM, where you can see how the PIMCORE experts put together an e-commerce storefront. So there's example HTML, there's example data objects, And you can just see how it works and start digging.
For the weekend and be like, I'm going to just check out PIMCore today because, you know, we're wrestling with something at work and I could just download it and play around with it on a LAMP stack or a virtual LAMP stack.
You can even go to the online demos that they expose on PIMCore.com.
Right on the website. Or there's also Bitnami, which is a one-click install.
Yep.
And that has the option, I believe, to install with all the components you need to your desktop or to a cloud server.
Yep.
But then what's the next step?
The next step is trying to make it work with your assets and your data.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the projects that we've worked with clients on, they've done a first pass at trying to implement their data structures, their data in PIMCore. But because they don't have that longer term experience with PIMCore, they don't know all the tricks and the best practices as far as data architecture are concerned. And so the next step is often an unintended one where Lightning Jar will review their data architecture and say, okay, here's some gotchas that you should be aware of. If you do it this way, this is probably going to happen soon.
Right.
And we have some alternatives that we can suggest. If you present the data on the screens that the content managers use in that way, they're not going to want to use it. Here's some examples of how you can present that same data in a more friendly way where the users are not frustrated.
Mm. And I think we've seen that scenario play out several times where clients come to us, they've self-selected, self-identified that they had some data management problems. They've self-selected a short list, PIMCore's on it, of possible solutions. They've gotten their feet wet. They're a savvy engineer.
Done a proof of concept.
Yeah, they've showed it to their boss. It's like a very, very modest proof of concept with some test data. They come to us and we say, okay, let's take your proof of concept to the next level so you can get, you know, universal sign off at your company to and confidence that this is really the system you want to go with. And then they work with us and we consult on the best practices, the data architecture, the configuration, and give them the support they need with their long-term vision of being able to run it themselves.
Yep.
And then with that proof of concept goes live, then, you know, everyone's thrilled. Suddenly product data managers get it. They're like, oh, this is what this can do. Marketing departments get it and they're excited. And then there's a rush to build the final solution.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just a related consideration, which I think is a selling point for PIMCore. I don't think so. I know so because these audiences say so. So for the data architect or the system architect, the way to create data structures using object relational concepts in PIMCore is really easy. It's really flexible and it's really easy to extend it. So it's really extensible. So data architects, software architects, once they are shown all the possibilities that PIMCore has as far as structuring your data and then presenting it in the interface to maintain the data, they get really excited at not only how easy it is, but how extensible and flexible it is or customizable it is, and how powerful the options are. And then from the user point of view, so like once that data structure is in place and you've loaded some content and people need to maintain that content. So the content manager point of view, I have heard on most projects when I'm talking to those business stakeholders, when they get to see what the software architects, data architects have put together for them, they get really excited because they've never used a data management or a content management system that's so easy to use.
Right.
And so they say, wow, I can just drag and drop this onto that and it creates a relationship. Oh, wow. There's multiple tabs for the three languages I have to maintain right there. Oh, wow. So non-technical content managers get excited when they see what PIMCore can do if you've architected it well for them,
right?
And taking them into consideration,
and designers like it too. I mean, designers don't want to have to think about what's underneath the surface, and that's why they love it, because they really don't have to. You know, rewind a few years, and it was a very common thing that happened in agencies where someone from the technology team is telling the design team, "We can't do that. Can't support that. That can't be done." And when we started using PIMCore, we retired that phrase, I think. You know, when was the last time you told a designer, we can't support that on PIMCore? It's just, it's sort of a nonsense. There are no restrictions. If you can build it in the front end, we can support it with the back end.
And that's because PIMCore is not a turnkey solution like an Oracle or whatever, you know, where there's these enterprise scale content management systems that really force the whole team of people from content managers, designers, front end coders, back end coders to do things a very specific and prescribed way.
Yeah.
That's not what PIMCore is. PIMCore says, here are the things that you need to do it your way.
Right. So folks, can use a little help getting started with PIMCore, though it's designed to be something that companies can maintain themselves once it's up and running. Besides just calling us, how can someone get support for a PIMCore project?
I really don't know.
Just call us. I think there's, if you go to pimcore.com, there's a list.
There's a partner.
Official partners by country.
Yeah.
But I think what might be important to note that I'm hearing is who to look for. I think the right PIM, based on what you're saying, it's you don't need gross development man hours at the cheapest price point possible. What you need is experience, expertise in the concepts and systems related to PIMCore.
I would assert that's true for any software development project. Okay. So all web development is a software development project, whether people know it or not. You're building software.
Right.
Building software only works if there's some analysis. Only works well for the end users if there's some upfront analysis and strategy applied.
Yeah.
And so if you are looking for a PIM solution out of the box with no development effort that you can just start plugging your data and your images into, PIMCore is not the solution for you. If you're an enterprise that knows you need a PIM solution, a DAM solution, a CMS solution that are really tightly integrated and really, really well architected, you've got a foundation to make that easier to build your custom solutions and solve your difficult problems that are unique to your business. And does that necessarily require a huge development effort? It depends on what the problems are.
Mm-hmm.
But you still want to have that analysis and strategy up front to really identify what are the intended output channels and who are the users and what are their expectations.
Yeah.
And what are your data requirements? So on one end, there's what comes out. On the other end, you need to build an architecture that's going to support both your backend systems, your business processes, and then those various output channels on the front end.
Right. And so some of the skills that you'd shop for looking for a partner, this might be biased because we are a partner, but but I don't care.
We were the first partner.
Yeah, I think you want a partner that has business analysis skills, can understand your real business goals and what you're trying to do, and know how those translate to systems and architecture and software.
Yep.
And then you want user experience expertise, so that not only is the platform being designed so that end consumers can use it, but it's really about the data managers and the product managers and the content people.
Yeah, if the PIMCore admin interface where people actually maintain the data isn't presented in a friendly way, they won't want to use it, and they will not use it as often or as frequently or as consistently as will make everything sing.
Right. And so then you also need PIMCore experience so that you know that the partner is guiding you to use it the right way.
Yeah.
So the right assets and objects are stored in the right way. And data architecture expertise so that you can get good advice on how to structure your data and anticipate common problems that we can see based on our experience that brands trying to do this for the first time might not be able to predict.
Yeah. The same, I don't know if mistakes is the right word, but the same choices are often made over and over and over from project to project that can paint developers into a corner because the architecture didn't take into consideration certain things that need to be taken into consideration. A lot of enterprises don't have data architects that they can that are assigned to the project that brings the PIM in. And so we can provide that. Lightning Jar can provide that. If you're going with any other partner, you want to make sure that they have that expertise as well to not only teach you best practices of PIMCore configuration and output channel stuff, but also best practices of how to use the different kinds of data types, how to architect the data so it's flexible and extensible and supports your business processes.
Cool. I'm sold. Sign me up. I want PIMCore. So I think we can wrap up. Jim, thank you for your time. If folks are interested in learning more about PIMCore, they can always reach out to us. lightningjar.agency or info@lightningjar.com. You also go to pimcore.com. You can learn more about PIMCORE itself, and you can find links to download and install PIMCORE packages, or you can explore their demo. All right, we'll catch you next time on this podcast.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. That's it for this first episode of Thunderclap. Until next time, I'm your host, Kevin Peckham, encouraging you to proceed and be bold. Thunderclap is brought to you by Lightning Jar, a digital creative agency dedicated to helping businesses connect with customers in a world that is more mobile and more digital every day. Check us out online at lightningjar.com or send us a message at info@lightningjar.com. Lightning Jar also produces custom branded podcasts for clients. If you have an idea for a podcast to help your brand connect with customers, give us a call or get in touch at podcasts@lightningjar.com. This is Lightning Jar.